ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ पुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतवस्तमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Good morning, welcome everyone to today's class. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Yoga of Knowledge and Wisdom, Topic 5, verse 20 to 25 is Topic 5. Entitled The Deluded Seek and Gain Finite Fruit. The Deluded Seek and Gain Finite Fruit. And I'll just quick recap of the last few verses. 16. O Arjuna, four kinds of virtuous people worship me: the artha, distressed; the jignasu, seeker of knowledge; the arthati, seeker of wealth; and the jnani, wise. O Bharata Sabha. Number 17. Of them, the jnani, the wise, ever steadfast with single-pointed devotion, excels. For I am extremely dear to the jnani, the wise. He is dear to me. 18. Noble indeed are all these, but the jnani, the wise, I deem as verily myself. For steadfast in mind, he is established in me alone as the supreme goal. 19. At the end of many births, the man of wisdom reaches me, realizing that all is Vasudeva, reality. Such a great soul is very difficult to find. So this topic five, discusses the people who are ignorant of the self. The focus is on the world. So last class we discussed what the jnani was. So now here we discuss the first three categories: the seekers of wealth, the seekers of knowledge, the seekers of the mind devotion. The focus is on the world. I'll just read you the intro. It gives you a summary of this topic. The deluded seek and gain finite fruit. The deluded, having lost sight of the transcendental reality, entertain a variety of desires in this world. They seek and earn the fruits of their desires. The reality, personified as Lord Krishna, functions in every being as Atman. Atman enlivens all activities, be they material or spiritual. Hence, Krishna states that he supports all actions of individuals pursuing their manifold desires. So we're going to go into a little bit more detail of that. All desires are from Brahman. Regardless, Lord Krishna says, I support you, no matter what you do. This is his grace. So we'll start with any questions before we begin. So we'll start with verse 20. Kameisteisterhitajnanaha prabhatyantenyadevatah tam niyamamasthaya prakatyaniyatasvaya kameisteisterhitajnanaha prabhatyantenyadevatah tam niyamamasthaya prakatyaniyatasvaya. Those deprived of wisdom approach other gods through various desires, resorting to corresponding rites led by their own nature. Those deprived of wisdom approach other gods through various desires, resorting to corresponding rites led by their own nature. Ornament. Can you read paragraph one and two, please?
The fifth topic covers verses 20 to 25. It explains how the deluded, ignorant of the supreme Brahman, seek and gain mundane fruits in the world. Lacking knowledge of self, their desires are confined to finite goals. They merely pursue and fulfill these limited desires. The self, Atman within, is paripurnam, whole, supreme, infinite. The deluded without self-knowledge is not aware of his infinite nature. Thus, he feels a sense of incompleteness, an emptiness, a void within. With the hope of filling this imaginary void, his thought runs towards the world of objects and beings. The stream of thoughts flowing from him to an object or being is known as desire. Several such desires issue from the void caused by the ignorance of self.
Thank you. Quite straightforward. We've covered this before. Every human being is nothing but the self, God Brahman. I am Brahmasmi. Famous word, famous saying. I am Brahman. Everyone is God, the self, Brahman. But people don't understand, people don't believe, people are ignorant of this, ignorant of the self. They are unaware of Brahman. So they live merely to fulfill their desires in the world. What else is there? What is everyone doing? From the morning they wake up till the night they sleep, it's all fulfilling desires. Whatever they may be, we're not quantifying or qualifying these desires. We're not saying good or bad desires. But that's all everyone is doing. But we are the self. The self is complete happiness, complete fulfillment. Who is completely happy and fulfilled? Hands up. Why not? You have to ask this question. I am Brahman, I am God, I'm paripurna, completely full, completely happy, satisfied. Why are we not? Why not? How many times we've read this? This is the 105th class. Why not? Any idea?
Your desires, your vasanas, your attachment to material.
Yeah. All of those are valid points. What else?
We haven't exhausted it.
We haven't exhausted our desires.
Yeah.
Okay. All good answers. Yeah, Dharmesh.
Happiness we know is in the material world, so it's short-lived. So there's an up and a down. When we're truly happy, when we have connected to the self, there is no up and down, just happiness.
Very good, Dharmesh. Who else? Still, you have to say.
Our focus is in the world and not the self.
Our focus in the world and not. Okay, our focus is on the world, not the self. Why not?
Ignorance, knowledge, and putting knowledge into practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though we are the self, and we talk about this every Sunday, you go on the YouTube channels and you look at it and you hear about it, you read about it. We're still not convinced. All of you are right with the answers, but still, you're giving all positive answers, all of you. Then why aren't you happy? Yeah, Dharmesh.
For me, it's belief, Sadda. Is this the route? Is this the only route? When you truly believe in what you're doing.
So I'm correct, isn't I? Everyone's not convinced. Forget about putting the effort in.
I think in theory is harder than practice. I mean, theory is easier than practice. You know, theory, we understand all this, we can relate to it, connect with it, and we fully believe in this 1 hour that, yes, we are this. But as soon as we step out and have to deal with the practical side of life, we somehow just slip away slowly, slowly. We haven't really aligned ourselves with that knowledge that we are the self. That's what we're learning, yes. But
yeah. No, all you're all right. I'm not slating all of you or saying anything like that. You know, I'm just saying why. You know, we come to these classes, we learn about it, we listen about it. Shilovan.
I think life is ever changing. And as we're aging, we have different needs, wants, a different sort of releasing love and happiness. So that's why we're not happy at the present, because we hold on to the past too. If we let go, if we have this knowledge, let go of everything, just be mindful and live minute to minute, maybe that will bring our happiness.
So you have this knowledge. You're giving the answers, correct answers to my question. So you have this knowledge. So what's stopping you? Conviction. Conviction is what we're all lacking. It sounds lovely. These classes are great. It all makes sense to me. I have a murti of Lord Krishna. I have a photo of Lord Krishna. I've been to Hare Krishna temple. But that conviction isn't there to his teachings. Because of this unsurety, because of this unconviction, we don't feel fulfilled. We don't feel happy. We feel a sense of emptiness inside. Incompleteness. Hence, to fill that void, our thoughts go towards the world, to objects and beings, to fulfill that imaginary emptiness. Because we don't have conviction, but instant pleasures. The other one takes effort. Conviction, as we said. See, you'd put the effort in if you completely felt, yes, this is the path. So this emptiness, this void, these thought counts, they're called desires. Because of the lack of your conviction, ignorance of the self, even though you're not ignorant now, to fulfill that void, you go into the world to fulfill desires. So desires towards the world are caused by ignorance of the self. Conviction of the self, you all have an acknowledge. And I have to say, you're not convinced. Not convinced enough to put the right effort in. Look, we're all in the same boat, but we're just putting it out there. Because you can gain as much knowledge as you want. You can be giving the lectures next week. But it takes conviction and effort to reach that goal. Not putting anyone down, by the way, yes, but we're just pointing out the facts. This is what Lord Krishna is saying. But the Lord understands. Lord Krishna understands. And you'll see what he says in the next couple of verses. Arunabhan, next paragraph, please.
A mind cluttered with these ignorance-born desires seeks fulfillment in the external world. Desires of different natures emerge from a person endlessly. They assume different forms. He aspires for success, wealth, knowledge, and a host of other limited goals in the world. The search for fulfillment never ceases. He constantly runs in all directions, trying to seek fulfillment of his desires. Consequently, he remains ever agitated. An agitated mind cannot concentrate, much less meditate and realize the Supreme Self. To circumvent this impediment, the great sages of the past devised an ingenious plan. By this plan, they divinized man's desires, which remained preoccupied with the world. They personified the objects of desires as gods and goddesses. Success as Lord Ganesha, wealth as Goddess Lakshmi, knowledge as Goddess Saraswati, and several others. They superimposed divinity upon material pursuits, thus rendering the mind introvert to seek the self within.
Thank you. So to fulfill desires, the mind is preoccupied with the world. Name, fame, power, status, family. We all covered this before. These are our desires. Because of that ignorance, our desires goes towards the world. And these are the kind of desires we entertain. Everyone's mind is extroverted. Extroverted is outside. Introvertedness is within. So everyone's mind is extroverted, is on the world. And because the desires are endless, the mind is constantly agitated. And these desires will not end. It doesn't matter where you reach, what pinnacle state you reach. The governor of the world, let's say there's a position, and you reach that state, you still won't be satisfied. This is what they're saying. So who is the who would be regarded as the head of the world at the moment? Who's regarded as not necessarily fulfill that that there's a position such as head of the world, but who is regarded as head of the world? Politically. Any idea?
Politically, I think it'd be America, whoever the president
is. President Biden. Everyone looks up to him. What's going on there? Now, what's his name? Wants to be president again. Donald Trump. He's been president once before. So if he had reached that state once before, why does he want to get there again? Not satisfied. So even if you reach the highest echelon state in the world, you're not still happy. So what are we chasing? This is what Lord Krishna is saying. But we don't understand. We don't realize. That, hence, they say desires are endless and the mind is constantly agitated. Does everyone understand that? Any clarifications? There's no time for prayer, to think of God, worship, Brahman, because everyone's extroverted. What is prayer? What is worship? What does that mean? Prayer, worship. What do you need to do if we're extroverted? How do you pray, worship? What's the meaning of it? You all do it. So what is the meaning of it? So if someone says to you, what are you doing? Your son, your daughter, your husband, and say, I'm praying. What are you doing?
General Divas, Marabaja, you know, you read your daily scriptures, pastor. Yep.
Perfect.
That's what for prayers.
Absolutely. But what are you doing? I said the mind is extroverted. Everyone's mind is extroverted. When you're praying, what are you doing?
You're keeping yourself occupied to think of God.
Thinking of God. You're plucking your mind from the world to Brahman, to something transcendental. That time when you're praying, you're worshipping, your mind is not on the world. Prayer is to pluck the mind from the world to Brahman, God, whichever God you pray to. This is prayer worship, however you do it. Hence, when you're doing your mara, you're doing your prayer, but what are you thinking about? Are you still thinking of the world? Because then you're not praying, you're not worshipping. Does everyone understand? Where is the mind? But it's so difficult to do this. Because the mind keeps wanting to go into the world. It's attracted by it. So what did these sages do? They placed gods to wherever the mind went to fulfill the desires. Ingenious plan. Okay, all these human beings, they can't pray, worship sincerely. Because the mind is such that it, and the world is such that the mind is attracted to the world, the five senses. Okay, we'll put a god wherever the mind goes. At least they'll think of God while they want to fulfill their desires. You're with me. This is what the sages did. We can't change them. We can't explain it to them. They want to all fulfill their desires. The desires are too strong. Let's put a God at the end of each desire. So when you want for wealth, when you want to go for wealth, you'll at least pray to Lakshmi, Goddess Lakshmi. Please fulfill my desire for wealth. You need strength. You pray to Hanumanji. Please, Hanumanji, give me some, share me some of your strength so that I can fulfill what I'm about to do. I need plenty of courage and strength. Ganesha. Please, Lord Ganesha, give me success in what I'm going to do. Even for diseases, they put a god. Goddess. So wherever the mind went, they placed a god. So in other words, they linked a god to worldly desires, these sages. They understood how the human being's mind works. So at least you think of God whilst you're pursuing your worldly desires. Otherwise, we're finished. At least you're thinking of something beyond this world. Otherwise, we will never think of God. Okay, we're getting married. Okay, our daughter's getting married. Okay, we need to do the Ganesha Puja. Let's get God's blessings. Hence, because of this, you're regarded as a religious person, a believer in God. Why would you do it if you didn't believe in God? I am a religious person. I believe in God, regardless of what it's for. I need clarifications. Does everyone understand? We're talking gods with a small g, not a big g. Big G means Brahman. Little g means gods, goddesses. You know, in the scriptures, when you read with a little g, it means the limited gods. Big G means Brahman, the ultimate god. Self. Is that clear to everyone? We're all religious because we all believe in God, regardless of what we believe, what the reason we believe for it. So those deprived of wisdom, what wisdom? Knowledge of Brahman. They don't have the wisdom to pursue the self. They pursue other gods. They follow these pujas, rites, based on their nature and their desires. So all these temples, mandirs, they're for this purpose. We're not saying there's anything wrong with it, by the way. We're just explaining what this stands for. Oh, wait a minute. Lost.
The reference to gods, devtas, in this verse, therefore points to mundane goals. You can achieve these goals by adopting proper rites to reach them. The rites thus become different ways and means to achieve these ends.
So all the festivals we have throughout the year, there's so many, Diwali, whatever festivals we have. Every month there's a festival of some nature, something. Holi. What else? Ram Nami last week. Hanuman Jayanti this week. I've just been told, by the way. I don't know, but... And so many others. Ceremonies we have for birth. Death, there's a ritual. Move into a new house, there's a ritual. Every activity, there's a ritual of some sort. Why? Why is it? Yeah, Dharmesh?
Remind us of God.
Remind us of God. And that's why India is regarded as a religious country, a spiritual country. Based on our nature, we believe in different gods. Based on our desires, we believe in different gods. I'm a Ram Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, I believe in Shiva. So these gods are placed to make one's mind introvert. One day you may wake up and say, why are there so many gods? One day you'll wake up and say, why are there so many gods? Explain to me. And no one will be able to explain to you, by the way. Why are there so many gods? And then you'll pursue some knowledge on YouTube, join a Vedanta class, and to find out why there's so many gods. In Vedanta class, they'll tell you there's only one God, Brahman. And you are that. Any clarifications? Shashi, makes sense? So, is it wrong to follow, to pray to gods with a small g? Should he stop doing it? I don't want people to be misunderstand anything here. Lord Krishna is not saying that. You continue as you are. She did. Yeah,
Dharmesh. There must become a point where you realize small gods is not the goal, it's the big G god. Then you would stop, isn't it?
Absolutely. But you have that conviction. See, but the mind will automatically want to fulfill a desire and pray to that God. When will you change and think, my goal is different now? Back to the beginning talk we just had. When you come to that conclusion, why am I praying to these gods? They're for material things. Who is the big God? Who is the head? Who's the CEO? One day when you ask that question and you find out it's the self, Brahman, and you are that, and your goal is self-realization, then your focus starts changing. But very few people reach that point. This is the thing in the world. Very few people reach that point because their desires are so many. Is that okay, Tomas? Anybody? Any other clarifications? Okay. Verse 21. Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktah shraddhaya chitu michati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidatam yaham yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktah shraddhaya chitu michati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidatam yaham. Whatever form a devotee seeks to worship with shraddha faith, I make that shraddha faith of his unswerving. Whatever form a devotee seeks to worship with shraddha faith, I make that shraddha faith of his unswerving. So whatever God you pray, worship to, Lord Krishna is saying, don't worry, I'll give you the strength to pursue that. I support you. Arnavin, paragraph one, please.
The human mind becomes attached to anything it contacts. A bhakta, devotee's mind, develops an attachment to his God. Whatever form of God a bhakta seeks with faith and devotion, Krishna supports his devotion to that particular form. Krishna encourages any form of devotion until the devotee's faith to his God becomes unswerving. This interpretation of the verse holds good for those who approach it from a devotional angle. The verse, however, lends a deeper significance to satisfy intellectuals as well.
So it's saying we as humans become attached to everything in this world, our family, the things we possess, even the God we pray to, we become attached to it. Even to the God, we get attached. Somebody says negative about your God, you get annoyed. How dare you say that? I'm a Shiva bhakt. You say negative things about Lord Shiva. How dare you? Some religions, people go as far as killing that person. That's how the strong attachment is. How dare you say that about my God? Now, that's human beings. What's Lord Krishna saying? Whatever God you pray to, worship, I will support you. I will support your devotion, no matter who, which God you pray to. What does that mean? I will help you. I will support you. Give you the strength to make that devotion stronger, Lord Krishna says. I'll give you the faith to make that devotion stronger, no matter who, which God you pray to. Last verse, we said, limited gods, worldly desires. You pray to God to fulfill your desire. There's only one God. Here, Lord Krishna is saying, no matter what God you pray to, I'll support you. Why would he do that? Why would Lord Krishna say that? Why? 1 minute he's saying these are limited gods. Next minute he's saying, I will support you. Even Whichever God devotee searches to worship, as long as he does it with faith, he will make that faith steadfast. Why? Ramesh, why?
Hopefully one day, through their steadfast of the lower gods, one day he will be enlightened to go for the someone. That's the aim.
Absolutely. Rather be introverted and follow a God to fulfill his desire than not be thinking of God at all. Remember we said there are two types of people, one that worships God, one that doesn't. So we're falling, everyone is falling in the category of who worship God. In there we said the first three worship God for their own reasons, selfish reasons, fulfilling desires. The fourth, the Yani, is the true believer because he prays to reach enlightenment. So Krishna is personifying the infinite Brahman. Because of our ignorance, he understands we try to fulfill, pursue desires at the material, physical, intellectual levels by worshipping gods, these limited gods. These desires come from the ignorance of Brahman. Lord Krishna knows. They don't know Brahman. Hence, they are in the world. So I'll make those pursuits steadfast, even for worldly desires. I'll help you get your goal, whatever it may be. Don't worry. What more can we ask for? The Lord supports us no matter what we do. Even though we're ignorant of the self, we're fulfilling worldly desires, Lord says, don't worry, I'll be there for you. And when you pray, you worship for whatever reason you worship for, how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel?
Meant to make you feel peaceful.
Peaceful, grateful, yes. Support. God is listening to me. God is with me no matter what I'm going to do. That is what God is saying, I will support you. It gives you that strength. That is the support you're getting. Otherwise, why pray? God isn't a genie. Please let me win the lottery, and then he grants that wish. He's not a genie. He helps you, supports you in whatever endeavor you're trying to achieve, to give you that support. God is with me. That gives you that comfort. That gives you the conviction, the energy to pursue what you need to do. That's how God helps you. Any clarifications? So this is God's role. Whichever God we pray to, this is God's role. You pray to Hanuman, give me strength. I'm going to go and do this. I need a lot of energy and strength. It gives you the conviction. I prayed to Lord Hanuman this morning, so he's with me. If you didn't pray, you didn't get his blessings, you're on your own. So that's the difference. Any clarifications? So we have to think about these things. But it's an explanation of everything that we do throughout our lives. Arunabhan, next.
Verses 16 to 19 stated how a seeker's approach to God ranges from physical, mental, or intellectual objectives to the ultimate spiritual goal of self-realization. Whatever be the pursuits, material or spiritual, Krishna declares that he makes them unswerving and steadfast. It means that those who faithfully cling to God for gaining material wealth will continue perennially in their material pursuits. So will the emotional and intellectual seekers ceaselessly pursue their particular interests. Likewise, the seeker of truth will continue pursuing his spiritual path until he gains enlightenment. This happens because your original self, your real being, remains ever supreme, infinite. You being of infinite stature, your pursuits can never find fulfillment until they take you to the ultimate state of self-realization. Krishna, identifying with the self within, declares that he maintains your faith and constancy of purpose, whether your pursuit be secular or sacred.
So these two classes of people who pray to gods, each for different goals. The unintelligent, ignorant, or Brahman pray to gods to fulfill limited worldly desires. The result gained from fulfilling these desires are finite, limited. That's why we said, even if you reach become the president of USA, the top seat in the world, you're still not satisfied. They're limited, finite. They have an end. Their intellects cannot penetrate anything beyond the world, nothing transcendental. The other class of people seek the self. These, Lord Krishna says, reach Brahman. They are the true worshippers. True worshippers meaning their goal is to get out of this world and to fulfill their purpose in life. Hence, he's a true worshipper. But whatever your desire be, material, emotional, intellectual, or self-realization, Lord Krishna states he will make them unshakable, strong. Now, remember one thing. When we mention Lord Krishna's name, we're talking about the self, Brahman. Yeah, we're not talking about Krishna himself. You envisage the little boy, you know, with the cows. And we're not talking about Mr. Krishna. We're talking about Brahman. But because if we use the word Brahman all the time, you cannot understand Brahman. But Krishna, you have some identification with. Lord Krishna, you have some identification with. You have an image of him. You heard the stories of him. And here in Bhagavad Gita, we're discussing Lord Krishna giving advice to Arjuna. So we have some context. But in the Upanishads, it's all Brahman. So please don't think, okay, now I'm going to pray to Lord Krishna. It's fine to do so. But we mean Brahman when we say that. So no matter where your desires, no matter which God, at least you are being introvert. Even if it is for material desires, at least you're thinking of God. How many of us in our life have prayed for something materially? How many of us? All of us. Something in the world. We've all prayed for something. Help me pass my exam. Help me get better for my illness. Help me get a good job. Now what we're doing in this class, we're worshipping God to gain the ultimate, to reach the self, gain enlightenment. So no matter what God you believe in, what desires you have, ultimately one day, as Dharma said, you will come to the state of pursuing self-realization. It may take many lifetimes. The fact that you're being introvert, you're believing in a God, one day you'll reach to this level of pursuing the self. So Lord Krishna says, I will support you whatever you are, wherever you are as far as devotion, worshipping is concerned, even if it is for material things. So imagine a ladder. At the bottom are unbeliever in God. God does not exist. God, there is no God, God doesn't exist. At the bottom of the ladder. Then there's middle of the ladder, there's people who believe in God, Christians, Catholics, all the different religions, Buddhists. They believe in some form of God. Yeah, they've gone up to the rung, higher up in the rung on the ladder. Then at the top, I believe they've got people who believe, who have passed that stage, reached the top, who worship Brahman, worship one God, whatever name there may be. And then at the top of the ladder, you reach the infinite goal. So where are we in the ladder? That's what you have to decide. All humans are God, playing the fool. All humans are God, playing the fool. Remember that. So I'm not going to take the next two verses. I think we've covered quite a bit. And there's only so much you can take in. I mean, so we can have just a general chat for the next 10 minutes. There's too much information, too much knowledge, and everything you'll forget. So let's leave it in small chunks today. So any topics or any questions people have, what we've discussed today or last few classes? Yeah, Ravi.
Just obviously reading these verses again and looking at the variety of gods we have as options or pointing us in the direction. But generally, I mean, just saying, being brought up and sort of looking at all these temples and so forth, you're forever guided towards a deity, and it's normally a full stop. You go as far as there, and that's where the barrier is. They're not teaching you to go beyond that. So, you know, finding this knowledge and it's going beyond that, but then realizing that these gods or representations of gods are for you to go beyond each one and so forth. So it's quite challenging initially, as you said.
You're absolutely right. We're led to believe this, and we're not saying it's wrong. Yeah, that's the starting point. Now, think of this in another way, Kirby and everyone. You're born in a family that already believes in God, regardless, whichever God it is. You're already blessed. That's your starting point of this life. So can you imagine how many lifetimes you've had before? Where you didn't even believe in God or weren't born in a family that believed in God at all. But in this birth, you've taken a birth where the family, your society you live in, already believes in a God. So you're already born in the middle of the ladder. And it's your goal to go to the top. Brahman has already given you the birth, a starting point. He's even showed you the way to the knowledge. So are you not blessed? But the effort has to be there, isn't it? Regardless of limited gods. See, Lord Krishna says, okay, limited God, no problem. Don't worry, I'm still there for you. Keep going up that ladder. Does that answer your question, Ravi? But you're absolutely right. You're born in this state, but the emphasis is on you to develop. Their knowledge, whichever family you're born in, society you're born in, they believe in a limited God. That's as far as they are as a society. You need to have that conviction to move beyond that, which may not be easy, but that's down to you, isn't it? The people might be against you. We're all Krishna devotees. How dare you believe in a different God? You exalted out of our society. Happens. You have to have that conviction. Good question. Anybody else? Any other question, any topic, doesn't matter.
I think it's, you know, when we believe in and pray, it's also feeling of sense of security within ourselves.
Absolutely.
Also, when we're not aware of the knowledge, still going there, there's always a vibe, and it's something that draws us to that. It's a calling too, but it's a very deep feeling. I need to go to these establishments like the temple or Gurudwara or whatever. Once you're there, you just feel a kind of emptiness and happiness at the same time, which nobody can describe. It's like when we say we go to a restaurant and we go for that umami flavor. What is that umami flavor? Is something which we cannot pinpoint. So this is the same thing when we pray and when we feel good about everything. That's the umami of the strength and the prayer that we go towards, we strive to.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right, Shlevin. But what is that feeling, that strength, that feeling, whatever that word you describe? What is that? How would you qualify that?
It's not describable.
Yeah, exactly. Why is that?
It's bliss. It's like, it's so much of joy, which you can never explain to anybody.
What is that joy, though? I'm going to explain it to you today. That's why. What is that joy?
I think the elevation of happiness.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just indescribable.
Because we're going to describe it today, right now.
Because this time when I went to India and I've been to Calcutta and all those Mahakali temples and that, and it was such a different feeling from when other periods, like, you know, you go to temples or even now when we go to our establishments, it was just a different connection. The fulfillment.
We get it, Shilavin, we get it. You've explained it very well. What is that? What is that feeling we're feeling? What is Shilavin? What's that feeling Shilavin's feeling?
I would say connection, you know, closer to self-realization, beyond the barriers. You feel the energy.
Yeah.
And what I, initially, it's going back to conditioning, once you go past the fear, God fear factor, you've given yourself. Haven't you? You've gone past it. God's not to be feared. It's to be reached and connected with.
Yeah. Dharmesh?
Lack of agitation during that time.
Lack of agitation?
I think with us, you know, we're always agitated. So for the few minutes we go to a temple, or the few minutes we go and we enjoy something and we relax, do nothing else, we have no fears, not agitated from anything. Even the mind is at rest at that time, for that 5 minutes to an hour or 10 minutes. That's the happiness. It's the lack of agitation.
Yeah, absolutely. What else? Anybody else? So two things, Shilavin. Most people follow and worship God for selfish reasons. They want to fulfill a desire. Correct? And the mind is agitated until that desire is fulfilled, correct? We've said that. Secondly, we said, we are all God playing the fool. Yeah? Who are we? We're God. When you go to this temple environments and you're going there and you have no desire to fulfill worldly desire, I'm not going to this temple to fulfill a desire, I'm going to this temple to visit this temple, when you go there, with emptiness, with nothing to gain from that experience, but just open to the idea of going to that temple. But no matter what God, goddess there is, yeah, you're connecting to the self. You're connecting to that God. You are no longer that fool for that few minutes. You're no longer playing God. You're not playing, no longer God playing the fool for that few minutes. You are God. You're identifying with the self within. You're identifying with that God principle for that few minutes. That's why you fulfill that bliss. Now, you feel that for a few minutes, you say. Now, imagine feeling that permanently. So that is what self-realization is. You're permanently one with God. No more desires for the world. Do you understand, children? So that few minutes, you're feeling. You have no worldly desires. You're just taking in that moment. You're identifying with the self within. It promotes you to do that, that environment. And that is why.
Do they call that another thing? Is it like euphoria?
Euphoria, you can call it euphoria. That happiness you can't describe as euphoria, isn't it? People take drugs to feel that, but it's temporary. That connection to Brahman is what you're feeling. When you go to these such high spiritual places where the vibe, the energy, is certain energy there, like I go to Rishikesh a lot, there's a certain energy there that brings me closer to that inner self. It's undescribable. So I understand what you're saying, children.
I know sometimes at some point my husband just says, is she going cuckoos now? Like, you know, you just be standing there and your they body goes, your body goes like jelly and tears will be running down your cheeks and you don't know why. It's not that you're sad, but it's just that it will just start pouring down. But then after that, you feel so good and so happy and light.
So that's the identification with Brahman within you. That connection is being made. The environment is helping you make that connection. Do you understand? The environment supporting you to make that connection with the self within. One with Brahman. You may not understand it, but that's exactly what it is. And not every temple will allow you to do that. But that's what it is. It's that connection. You know, we keep talking about Puripurna, highest place imaginable. No matter what, it's you feel that sense of oneness, that completeness. We can't explain the happiness and bliss you feel. For that few minutes, you're feeling that. Maybe 10% of that. Now imagine. So many tears for feeling 10% closer to the self. How much is 100%? So this is exactly what you're describing. But it disappears as soon as you come back. You walk out the temple, it's gone. You're back in the world. So that's what we're talking about here. We want to get to that stage where we feel that regardless of where we are. That's the goal. Anyway, good question. Good. Thank you for sharing that experience. Helps me to explain better. Okay, any other questions before we log off? Yeah, Damish.
I think we were talking about a live class again.
Oh, okay. Sure, why not? We can do that again. I'll speak to Ravi. So you get the numbers and then we can get a suitable venue.
Yeah, we'll put some date options and then we'll get the numbers and then we'll know where to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on numbers, we get a suitable venue.
No worries.
Okay, let's do that in the next next few weeks. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today and have a wonderful day.